broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth podcast with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen. Excited to be with you. Fall is in the air. It is below 100 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm just, you know, unpacking my sweaters, getting ready for this beautiful weather. I know Mark's already got his parka on and he's been shoveling his driveway.
Come on. I have not. It has not been that bad. It's beautiful weather, southern Idaho. I mean, half of the country deals with winter. Matt's down in Arizona and he thinks, you know, we're miserable or something. But
I'm finally hitting the good times. Okay. You know how you like suffer through winter and it's like April and you're like, ugh, when is this, you know, when is spring around? This is me. I made it through summer in Phoenix. Okay.
Well, you know, half of this country, we don't suffer through winter. We enjoy the seasons of this, of the year,
as okay,
seasons of the life cycle. This is it. It's a rebirth in the spring. It's the fall weather, the crisp weather, football season, then Christmas with some snow and cold. We love that. You don't even experience that. You're missing out.
Well, we still have football. We just don't have to shovel our driveway. Well, get a little distracted here.
Okay. But
thanks for being with us. Of course, this is the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. We're all about helping you better live the American dream, talking about tax and legal strategies, running your business, being self-employed and entrepreneur. And today we're going to be diving into a really important topic for those of you who are owning a business and starting a business. As you get out there and market and try and build a brand, we are going to talk about trademarks today and all the things that go along with that, Mark. I mean, there's so many other things to it. We're going to talk about a big question, trademarks, and maybe how to protect your brand and come up with a name, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, this is a great topic because a lot of people starting out are thinking, okay, how do I name my business? And I want a website. I want to go national someday. There's all these situations to consider. And then those of you that have already had a business for years, it's mature, and you're concerned about some bozo five states over stealing your name and your brand, and there's website competition and SEO going on, and that's where trademarking can be a powerful resource, or it could be worthless. Well, we've got an expert coming on later that's going to help us kind of understand those issues. It's an area I know enough to be dangerous. That's why we've got an expert today, because trademarks, timing, it's tricky.
Yeah, and our expert, of course, is Jaron Burgesson, a attorney in our firm who does a lot of trademark filings, helps clients understand their options, and we'll bring him on later. But before we dive into the topic of the hour, we'd like to give you a little tax and legal tip to maybe off topic sometimes, and just give you a little quick information, some advice might help you make some better decisions. And would you like me to go first, Mark?
You know, Matt, I will give you the choice. It's all, you could be giving and charitable and let me go first, or you can just, you know, grab the bull by the horns and go. You know, I won't be offended either way. Was that passive aggressive enough?
That's passive aggressive. I hear you. I'm going to give the legal tip right now.
Yeah, that topic came up this morning when I came into the office. I had an employee of mine go, Mark, thanks for working on that project I put on your desk yesterday afternoon. And clearly I had not. So I was like, oh, thank you for that passive aggressive comment. And so I'm kind of in the mood. I'm a little feisty today. So Matt, okay, you go, baby. Okay. Lot.
All right. I am seriously, I'm ready to go. This is a good one. I'm kind of excited to get it. So let's hear some cool guitar.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay. If you heard the news, Burt Reynolds passed away. All you Burt Reynolds fans out there, sad to see Burt go. And there's, of course, when a lot of famous people pass away, there's always some important things to learn about their estate. And Burt Reynolds is one I've got a couple of tips about, actually, some interesting stuff. So if you didn't know this about Burt, you know, he was married to Lonnie Anderson, and they adopted a son together.
Okay, now hold it. We see Matt, who is more of a child of the 90s, does not truly appreciate the infamy of Burt Reynolds. So for you, for my, our older crowd listening, I mean, this is Cannonball Run. This is
Cannonball Run. That's right. That is a great movie.
This is classic 80s. I mean, when some may argue movies sucked and they were shallow and whatever, but this,
yeah, oh, Smoking the Bandit, right?
Oh yeah. Burt Reynolds was the man. And so,
yeah,
I just got to give a little shout out to the 80s. Okay. So my fine sir, go ahead and proceed now at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. He had an adopted son with Lonnie Anderson,
okay,
whose name was Quentin. And interesting thing here is he omitted Quentin from the estate in his will. Now, what he put in, now, and this is my first tip here. If you have children that you don't want to get anything from your estate, you don't just say, let's say you have three kids, John, Sally, and Steve. You don't just, and you just want John and Sally to get the money, you want to cut Steve out. You don't just say half of my estate goes to John, half of my estate goes to Sally. There's going to be a problem. You need to specifically omit, typically, obviously, spouses and children if you don't want them in your estate. And a lot of times you're not going to be able to omit a spouse even if you want. So you need to specifically say for children, if you don't want them to inherit, that I am specifically not, I do not want them to inherit anything from my estate, which is what Burt did for Quentin. And that's the first tip, is remember, if you don't want a kid to get anything from your estate, there's many legitimate reasons to do that. Okay. It doesn't even have to be a legitimate one. You don't like them. You've just had a falling out, whatever. You don't like the way they live their life. It doesn't matter. This is your estate. You decide. So you, but specify that you don't want them in your estate, whether it's in your will or your trust. Okay. That's the first tip. Now that's what Burt did. Now, the second thing he did, though, is he actually says in the will, and we know this because wills are public record, but he actually says in the will, I am providing for Quentin as according to my trust and the terms of my trust. Ooh. Now, here's the great thing about trusts, and this is my second tip when you're doing an estate plan. See, this will is all public record. Anyone can go pull this thing. Obviously, if you're somewhat famous, like Burt Reynolds, everybody's looking at this, but maybe your friends or other family members or, you know, other, just other people, maybe your neighbor you don't like. I mean, they can go down to the court and pull your will when you pass away and see who you gave, what assets you had, who you gave your assets to, who you didn't, whatever family drama you have, if you omit someone or don't, you know what I mean? This is all public record. But if you have a trust, which is what Burt primarily did, he disinherited his son in the will for purposes of the will, but says he provides for him in his trust, but he doesn't need to say anything more about who's getting what in the trust. The trust is private. It doesn't have to go through probate court. There's a trustee of the trust that can be, you know, one of the heirs or a surviving spouse or a kid that's just going to administer and distribute those assets. So that's the second tip. Is another beneficial reason to use a trust is not everybody needs to see what's going on. You don't need to go to court. You can keep things private, which frankly, our finances and our estate, it kind of bothers me that you have to go through a public court process just to divide up your estate. And, you know, it's a little scary. I've had to file probate stuff. You know, you file a lot of personal information about people and their finances and that stuff. And we don't protect that. So do a trust, keep that private. That's tip number two. That's all I got, Mark.
Okay, you're not working in threes today, so it's just two tips.
That was just two, because I mean, it's kind of from the same storyline.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
I figured I could go for a twofer.
Yeah, I want to cut you off. You know, I want to be generous with our time. And no, that's a fun tip. And it sometimes on the show, many of you listeners over the years have noticed we highlight the crazy problem child estate plans. You know, even Aretha Franklin is kind of jacked up on her estate plan. And, but But it's fun to highlight someone that's got taken advantage of the law and the rules and is creative. And so I think I just had an estate planning call this morning with a couple, second marriage for one with a child, new marriage for the other spouse. And we're talking about options and strategies, and it gets tricky, you know, but I want to applaud them for being proactive, because you don't want to leave your family in a mess and disaster. And so many of you out there, well, I don't have a lot of money, I don't need to do this. If you're building a business, you got something. You got a rental property. You got something. You got a little life insurance. You got kids. Guys, you don't have to be rich to just take $1,000, set it aside for an estate plan, and do it right. And then you can just adjust it every 5 or 10 years. You're cool. So anyway, we got an amazing new paralegal for estate planning here at office. So we're kind of excited about it. Kathy Westfall. She used to work for Disney, paralegal, knows her stuff. She's seasoned. She's got a family herself. She knows what she's doing. So if anybody want to just get on it, you can even call Kathy yourself and go, Kathy, what's this look like? What would we do? And she's so fun and cordial. Mm-hmm. So talk to her.
Cool.
Okay. We ready for a tax tip?
Let's do it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, well, this tax tip is for everyone. Everyone listening. This is, you're going to love this. This is like, serves everyone. I mean, everybody can take advantage of this. So I want to talk about writing off technology in your business. Maybe I will highlight the smartwatch. No, I would say the Apple Watch, but many of our, Android users out there who are anti-Apple, aka my son, who will give us a speech every chance he can to tell us how bad Apple is. Anyway, so we won't go down that route. But for anybody out there using technology, this is a huge opportunity for tax write-offs. Everything, if you own a small business, which is 99.9% of our listeners, because we want to encourage you to have a little something on the side, even a rental property is a business. I want you to write off everything you're buying at Best Buy, Apple Store, all the Microsoft Store, all these technology items, whether they're laptops, webcams, as smartwatches, iPads, smart TVs, potentially, especially in your office, computers, every piece and part of your technology arsenal, even a drone, possibly, headphones, Bluetooth devices. Those are what help you succeed in business. They are what make you efficient in business. They are acceptable to write off. A lot of times, 100% write off. Now, if you're using them in your home for some personal use and checking your Facebook and your underwear at night, then we're going to have to proportionally write off those items, not 100%. But the Bluetooth devices, including the Apple Watch, I've got a pretty popular article on the web on writing off the Apple Watch. It dominates right now. If you just Google write off my Apple Watch, my article's number one. Please share it. And it's a fun one because your watch is not a timing device. It is a Bluetooth device. It's a calendar. And it is therefore a write-off in your business as if it was a Bluetooth earpiece. So we're pretty confident that would be 100% deduction. We are suggesting that. And if the IRS wants to whittle it down a little bit, hey, deal with it. I mean, this is a great write-off. So there you go, folks. Take advantage of it. Write it down.
Yeah, the holidays are right around the corner. So why not, you know, get that year-end deduction and buy yourself an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
It pays, baby.
Now, I know you haven't used your Apple Watch as much as I did. Didn't I get you an Apple Watch?
You did. Yes. You got me one for my birthday or Christmas. And it's the first generation one. And I still have it. In fact, it's on my desk at my, or maybe it's second. I don't know. I don't even know how many generations there are. Whatever. I'm not a watch person in general. I don't know. I just don't like having something on my wrist that pretty much tells time or otherwise does things I'd have on my phone that's in my pocket. So I just haven't, I don't know. I know some people love it. My wife has one, uses it.
Are you not wearing a watch today? Hold up your wrist.
No watch. Yeah.
Really? Gosh.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I the only reason I think I like watches more for just like the craftsmanship of a cool watch than I do it telling time. Utility. Or of a smartwatch, like texting or what other people do with it. I mean, I'm like, that's what I started. I tried using the Apple Watch. So I'm like getting texts on it and like trying to reply. And I'm like, I just kept pulling out my phone because I wanted to do something different. You know, I just, maybe I didn't give it enough time. I don't know.
Well, I'm all about utility, and I like, I love the Tissot watch, which you can, it's got altimeter. It's got a,
oh, so for when I'm flying a plane or something, what do you use the altimeter for?
You go for a hike, you know, you're like, what's my, you know, elevation and how much ground did I cover? And the Apple Watch tracks your steps.
You have an app for that.
Well, you know, I don't need this half-pound lug of a camera computer in my pocket. The watch is so much more. By the way, and I will just say, final point is I do not return texts on my watch, but I get alerted to a text and I can quickly say, oh, I don't need to pull my phone out of my pocket. So I'm going to save, you know, roughly 2 to 3, maybe 5 seconds of text versus you that have to pull out your camera. And I add that up during the day. I'm probably a half an hour ahead of you every day. See? So.
Well, you make a compelling point. You make a compelling point.
Okay, let's get into our topic, right?
All right.
Okay, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah.
Buckle up. It's time to refresh you listeners. Mark and Matt have hand-selected professionals from around the world. From successful businesses, personal stories, or hard-hitting tips and tricks, please welcome today's Refresh Your Wealth guest.
So, all right, this is Jaron Burgesson. He's an attorney at the esteemed law firm of KKS Lawyers. And Jaron, we're excited to have you on today. And now Jaron does most of the trademarks in our office, I have to say. He is the expert within the firm on trademarks. I don't know, maybe set up 100 or so of them, I'd say. So Jaron, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. I'm excited to talk about that big BYU win at Wisconsin. You know, one of the biggest wins in about 10 years for the Cougars. That's why you wanted me on, right? You wanted to just take the next half hour and discuss BYU Wisconsin. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. Are you cutting out our audio tech?
Did we get the wrong guy?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to cut that and do some edits.
I thought we had a smart guy on the call.
Yeah, what the freak happened? We got some bozo here on the show. No, I'm sorry, Jaron. No, we're just joking. We're good friends. And Jaron is our resident office pool sports manager. So
amongst trademarks and raising capital, he also helps, you know, any of the sports pools.
No.
Yeah, that's the hat. That's the hat I'm the proudest of.
Yeah.
So, any illegal gambling going on in our office, you can trace it back to Jaron. So, no, but some of you may say you're just. I want to be honest about this. Some may say, "Well, you're being self-serving having a guest on your show that's from your own law firm." We don't do that. Really, in our 50-60 person organization, we really don't turn to that pool because we want to get outside sources and experts around the country to come on our show. But really, Jaron is one of the best. And I mean that honestly. When you go out and look for a trademark attorney, they typically do patents and IP. They're expensive. They're not really tailored to the small business owner. They are annoyed by the small business owner, to be honest. Most IP attorneys are looking for IP litigation. That's called intellectual property litigation. And they just don't want to take the time. They don't have an affordable trademark service. But Jaron's really created a niche for many, many of our clients around the country. Even if they don't take on a trademark, they can call them and within a half hour, they know if it's a good move or not. It's affordable. It's simple. So Jaron, thank you for coming on and talking about it, because we've got a lot of listeners that just want to know, what the freak is a trademark and do I need to do it? And so,
well, I appreciate that warm welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Well, in fact, let's start there, Matt. Let me throw out that first question, then I'll shut up. Is what is a trademark? Tell us, why are people listening to this?
Yeah. Well, the trademark is, it's your brand. It's your logo. It's what identifies the source of goods or services. And that trademark is an actual registration that you get that says that this mark, this name, this logo, or combination of the two belongs to my company and identifies the source of my goods or services. And other people across the country and possibly beyond US borders can't use that name or that logo or anything that's similar, confusingly similar to that, for similar goods and services. So that's basically what it is.
And so for most people that are looking to do a trademark, I'd say the two most common things people would trademark would be obviously the name of their business. And second, maybe a slogan, maybe it's your marketing slogan, you know, or some, you know, some combination of words you use that describes your product that you have, you know, whether it is a product separate from your company name, something like that. So, let's go over what isn't a trademark. I think a lot of people throw around words like patents and copyrights. Maybe just explain how what those are briefly so we know those are different than a trademark. And then let's talk about trademarks more specific.
Right. And they do get mixed up and kind of conflated a lot. Let's talk about a copyright. A copyright is an actual fixed, tangible representation of pictures or words. The way I like to put it is in your NFL broadcast, to go back to sports.
Of course.
The NFL logo is a trademark. That shield is a logo. Is a trademark.
The words National Football League is probably a trademark.
Right. The term NFL, a National Football League, the names of the teams, the logos on their helmets, those are trademarked. And they've got registered trademarks for all of that. The NFL does, the individual teams have registered trademarks for all that stuff. Then what's copyrighted is the broadcast itself, the pictures, the descriptions, the sounds. They used to give that disclaimer, maybe they still do on NFL telecasts, that, you know, the pictures and descriptions of this game are the copyrighted, you know, property of the National Football League, and you can't reproduce it without our say-so. So the telecast is copyrighted. A book is copyrighted, whereas maybe the name of the book or the name of the company that produces the book or the telecast, that is trademarked.
Now, before you go to patent, now,
yep,
a distinction here is copyrights are cheap, easy. All you have to do is put a copyright symbol and say it's copyrighted, and it's copyrighted, right?
Right.
You don't have to pay to copyright something. You just put that.
You can go get a registered copyright, and it gets you some additional rights. But most of what you're wanting to protect, yeah, you put the little copyright, whatever date, you're protecting most of your rights without having to go register a copyright. It's very rare. I've done it a couple times, but it's very rare that I register a copyright.
Okay. And on that note, because this isn't the goal of the show, but I want to say this recommendation to all of you listeners out there: on your website, put the copyright symbol at the bottom. If you're going to produce a blog, copyright it. If you're going to write an ebook, if you're going to write an article, a newsletter, a book, if you're going to produce a podcast, all of that should be copyrighted so that someone can't just copy and paste it and put it on their site or on their podcast or their book. And as long as you have that symbol and someone does it, you can write them a nasty letter, which I know Jerem does all the time. Just say, stop doing that or I'm going to sue you. And then people pull it.
It's called a cease and desist.
Yes.
Whatever. Okay.
That's technical term.
Cease and desist. I think that'd be a cool rock band name too, you know?
Maybe that would.
Yeah. Cease and desist.
Yeah.
Anyways, sometimes I have brilliant ideas. That's one of them. I'm going to write that one down.
Okay, so we go from trademarks to copyrights to patents. So why would I patent something?
So a patent is the actual product itself, the invention, the idea, the concept, the iPhone, you know, all the technology that goes into an iPhone, that's all been patented. So that's the know-how, the technical idea, the invention, how something is done, the physical product. Those are things that you can get a patent for. And that is a much more technical, involved, typically expensive process than either a trademark or a copyright. The three of us are all licensed attorneys, but we're not licensed to do patent work. There's a whole separate bar exam that you have to take to do that. and you have to have a background in engineering or, you know, biosciences or something to even be able to sit for the patent bar. So we don't do patent work. I refer that out. I have a good buddy from law school that's excellent and does that out of Denver, Colorado. But yeah, patent work is not something that we do in the firm, but it's important for people.
You know, I can't believe this. I knew you would bring up Denver somehow in the show.
Thank goodness we'll have Broncos in reference.
You know, it's so annoying to have a Denver Bronco fan in the office. And I knew he would try to get an angle in on that. So
I apologize
to all our listeners that hate the Broncos that, yes, Jeremy is a fan. Okay. All right.
Gotta go. All right. So guys, it's the first couple weeks of football season. So sorry for all these references. Yeah. They just can't help themselves. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. So you said the patent. So like all the technology, for example, going into the iPhone is patented, how it's made, you know, the inventions and the engineering and all that. Then, but the actual name of iPhone would be something trademarked, right?
Right.
So exactly. That could be trademarking the name of a product or the company itself, like Apple, that name would be trademarked. So let's talk about the business owner. You know, I think a lot of clients come to us and they don't frankly need a trademark, and some of them do. Like for example, let's say I'm a real estate investor. I'll just give you an example. One of my LLCs is called MNS Real Estate LLC. Now, I probably don't care to trademark that, do I? It's going to be on a deed. It's going to be on a contract. I don't market it. I don't solicit it. I'm not trying to build a brand around it. So I think a lot of people, if you're in that boat, you may not really need a trademark. But let's talk about who does need a trademark that you talk to and when you would recommend a trademark to someone.
So when I recommend a trademark, and you're exactly right, just because you have a business name, even an entity, you don't need to necessarily trademark that name.
Yeah.
But when you are building a brand, when it's important that people identify you and your company, your business, as the source of these products, and it would be a bad thing if somebody in your state or across the country knocked that off and was using that exact name to provide those exact services and was trying to services or products and was trying to siphon off your customers. So if it's important to you that on a national scale, you be able to use that name or that logo exclusively in your area, you're not going to be able to exclude everybody, you know, that's doing anything from using that name. But if that's important to you, or you feel like it's going to be important to you going forward, that brand name, that association, you know, it's really important that when people see that Nike swoosh, they know that it came from Nike. When people see the golden arches, they know that's McDonald's. If that's where you're going, then a trademark for that name or for that logo is really important.
Okay, now I want to interject this too at this point, just so that anybody listening isn't like, all right, this is so esoteric. And for those that don't know that word, I'll just say, you know, off the chart. I don't need this. You know, I'm listening because Mark and Matt are pretty cool. But no, just joking around a bit. But no, that some of you may be listening going, this doesn't apply to me. But hang on, the trademark can be pretty affordable. So let's just get the price out there that we normally charge, Jeremy. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so you're looking at, if we're doing a name only, just the words, then it doesn't have to be a name, but just words. It can be a tagline or a slogan. $750 plus patent and trademark office filing fees, which are multiples of $225. So either $225 or $450, can be, you know, $675, depending on what you're trademarking. For a name and a logo together, so a logo that includes the words, we do it for $1,000 plus USPTO filing fees.
All right. Now let's talk about, filing and the different categories, because I think sometimes you can look at a company and it could be, you know, someone may have a business name. I ran across with clients we've done trademarks for, and it might be, you know, Pinnacle Real Estate, for example, and they want to trademark that, the word Pinnacle and real estate, and those, the combination of those words for anyone in the real estate business. Well, if someone's using Pinnacle in a home security alarm business or in a automotive company, You may not have a conflict with that. Is that right? I mean, is there, when I'm registering it within, because the PTO office has different categories of businesses where you are, your name is protected within this industry or this subset of industries.
Right.
How does that work?
Right. You only get to trademark your name or logo or whatever it is for the goods and or services that you provide, and for things that would be confusingly similar to that. So if somebody, is Pinnacle Real Estate and they're a realtor, but then there's going to be a mortgage lender that wants to use the same name, that may be close enough that there's a problem. But if somebody is Pinnacle for Real Estate and then wants to be Pinnacle for hamburger sales, they can do that. It's Delta Faucets and Delta Airlines. That's always the example I use.
I got an example too.
Kohler Urinals, Kohler Accounting.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just kind of the butt of the joke here. It's hurtful.
Kohler faucet.
Yes. There you go.
Beautiful kitchen Kohler faucet.
Rain shower head.
Yes.
Pours down on you. The love. You feel
yes.
it.
Yes.
That's Kohler. Not the
That's
toilet.
Kohler.
Yeah, okay. Anything Kohler. Now, here's a good example. Some of you may go, well, Microsoft's taken. I can never use the word Microsoft because, Microsoft. But you could actually design the coolest pillow that just you fall asleep to at night and you want to call it the Microsoft pillow. And so you can trademark the word Microsoft. And
I bet Microsoft would still sue you, but yeah, you might have a good case.
You think they would?
They'd send you a cease and desist. I bet they would.
Sure. We should try it. This is an experiment.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need Microsoft suing me. The concept.
Right? I got. Yeah, I, yeah. yeah I'm, just, I'm joking too. They pay. They may not care. But yeah.
Microsoft pillows. But okay. So trademark. Now here's where I find this the decision point. And Jeremy, you may have not heard this early on the show. I know you were calling in. I said I think there's two scenarios where this really applies to people. One is they're just starting out and they're like, I need to choose my website, my company name, and my trademark. If you're going to go big right out of the gate, you want to plan that process right out of the gate. You want to say, I want to make sure that I can get on GoDaddy and find the site I want, the company name's available in my state, no one else has grabbed it. And then I'm going to have Jerem search the patent and trademark office so that they're all coordinated. Is that hard to do, Jeremy? I mean, it's doable, right?
Oh yeah, no, that's absolutely doable. And if the name is kind of the linchpin to what you're doing or a big part of it, and you want to make sure you have all three lined up, we can do that search. We can file for a trademark for you, even if you're not using the name yet. Just your intent to do so is enough to get that application filed.
Yeah, and you're looking at a couple thousand people. I mean, you're going to get your LLC, your corp, all the filing fees, get your trademark. It's not off the chart expensive, and you can reserve your URL on GoDaddy for under $10, and then look at all the other services that come with it. But that's kind of the first scenario, and then the second one I see is people that have got a mature business. They've been around. They want to expand. They want to go online with their product. But there's someone else that has kind of a similar name or a similar product or service, but they're fighting with them on Google for SEO position, and they kind of want to go down that trademark route. I think that's trickier, right? Because you can't stop someone that's already using a name. But what do you do in that situation?
Right. If their use predates yours, even if they don't have a registered trademark, you can't stop them from using the name in the way that they did prior to you registering your trademark. But you can, the way I put it is you can kind of put up a fence around them and say, you can't expand into other markets. You can't expand and use that name for other products. Mm-hmm. You're hemmed in using that name or logo or whatever in the way that you did prior to me getting my trademark registration. So you can put a fence around it.
Yeah. And that could be a great tool and strategy, I think, in building your brand. If you do run into that scenario where there is someone else using it, I think so, because you kind of are claiming the rest of the territory that's out there.
Matt, right. I like what you said too. I want to highlight that. Maybe we'll digress a moment, but I'm going to ask you, Matt. I think all of us could comment for a moment. Building a brand, Building a brand is so critical in today's world, I think, because so much is done online. Really, it's easy to go nationwide, where 10, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, man, when Burt Reynolds was around, I mean, it's a lot harder, you know?
Yeah.
But but building a brand is so important. And I think mm-hmm. a trademark, your website, your color, your logo, it's mm-hmm. so easy to get that dialed in right from the beginning. Matt, what do you say about branding? I mean, I'll just go this path. I mean, you meet with so many business owners.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I was thinking about with respect to the trademark, and I was actually thinking about just that exact same thing about building a brand, is when you're choosing your name, you know, many times when I'm setting up an entity for a client, I'm like, you know what, this is for a piece of real estate. It doesn't really matter what your company name is. Just come up with whatever you want. Let's just pick something, make sure it's available. Not a big deal. But if for a client that's really trying to create a brand and it's a storefront or it's online or it's associated with the product or service, you know, we want to have a really identifiable name, and we want to, and one big consideration is, can I trademark this? Now, one thing that's important to note is you cannot trademark generic names. So, or what the IRS would make, or sorry, not the IRS, the USPTO calls descriptive. So if you're picking a name for your company or a product and you make it too descriptive, meaning it's not unique enough, you know, if you're like, well, I'm making cars and the company of my company name is going to be Car Company. Okay. Well, we're not going to register, let no one else use the word Car Company. The USPTO is not going to approve that. You've got to throw in something unique, you know, maybe some word or phrase before Car Company, so that it's not just descriptive of what you are. So think about that as you're choosing a name, because that could be an issue in getting a trademark if it's simply just too descriptive. Did I say that right, Jeremy? I think that's one thing, Mark, I was thinking about in terms of branding is, don't be too descriptive. Pick something unique enough that's going to identify you from competitors, and also may help you get a trademark.
Right. And there is that kind of push and pull. People go, well, I want people to know what it is I do. Okay, well then, you know, that may be descriptive in some way. But if you can throw something in that is unique, that is what the USPTO calls fanciful or arbitrary or suggestive instead of descriptive. And that line between descriptive and suggestive is pretty fine. Mm-hmm. But there is that push and pull of, okay, I want people to know what it is I do versus I want to be able to shut anybody else out from being able to use this name and get a trademark. Mm-hmm. So if you got to decide what's most important, and you can kind of play it both ways. If you have some descriptive term in there, but then also something that's not, so that mm-hmm. you can get a trademark on that name as a whole.
I love it. I just stepped away from the microphone for 30 seconds and went over to my shelf and pulled out a great book on this. I just sharing it here with these guys too over the video, is What Great Brands Do, the 7 Brand Building Principles That Separate the Best from the Rest. It's written by Denise Lee Yohn, Yohn, and she's been on our show. She came on and talked about branding a year and a half ago. And she's got a second edition out. I saw she's got a great newsletter list and newsletter that she puts out on branding. So anybody that you're kind of geeking out on this, I recommend Denise Yohn, Yohn, and check out her book. Get on Amazon. Just Google it. And we probably ought to have her back on the show and just talk branding. But this is a great book. Now, I will say this. She is very Fortune 1000-ish. You know, she's kind of like, that's who hires her, is these big, big companies to come in and do branding things. So she kind of comes from that angle, but I don't think it hurts. And there's a lot you can learn from as a small business owner from her.
Well, I was going to say another resource we had, what was it? Was it Matt Parker, Album Surf, that was the podcast Entrepreneur in the Trenches about building a brand and some marketing strategies, which was excellent, I thought. So that's in the podcast history if you want to search for that.
Yeah, that's funny on that. I was literally hanging out this weekend and started talking surfing with someone, and he was working at a surfing manufacturer. And I just brought up Album Surf because I've got a couple Album Surfboards. And he's like, dude, everybody in the industry is talking about Album Surf. Like, they are the coolest brand. And you use that word. It's funny you bring that up, Matt, because Matt has done such a good job. And if anybody, just go to Instagram and type in album surf, just like an album. It's a black disc that you would play music on. And it's called a turntable. Wicka, wicka, wicka. Oh, by the way, my DJ went pretty well last week.
We got to get an update on that. Listeners.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty well. But branding. Boom.
Well, Jerem, let's maybe talk about enforcing the trademark is the last thing here, at least that I got is. So, all right, let's say I did went out there, I've got the trademark, and what can I do with that? You know, let's say someone's using the name or the slogan whatever I've got trademarked. What is this trademark? What powers do I have now?
Right. So you like I said, you kind of get to use it, as a sword and a shield. So as a sword, you can be out there writing cease and desist letters. Somebody is using your name, your registered trademark for a good or service that is similar to what it is you provide. You can have us send them a nasty letter saying you've got to stop or you're going to have a trademark infringement lawsuit on your hands. And if they don't stop, you can file that trademark infringement lawsuit and get even beyond your actual damages. There are statutory, there are damages in the trademark statute. Mm-hmm. That you can go after, and they're high amounts. And so it is scary for somebody receiving that cease and desist letter on the other end. You can also use it as a shield. If somebody says, hey, you can't use that name, I'm using it, you can say, excuse me, I have the registered trademark. Here it is. So if anybody's infringing, it might be you. And it's important that you do that, because if you don't, you don't enforce your trademark, you can lose it. If you just allow people to use it out there, their use can cause you problems down the road. So you need to be enforcing your trademark.
Just like old adage, use it or lose it, baby.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah, that's when Matt and I talked about, I had a convertible for a while, and Matt's like, dude, you just got to ride with the top down all the time. Either use it or lose it, you know? Live the dream or just forget it.
I mean, you know, you've got it, you know, so if you got it, flaunt it, you know, that's another way of saying it. We do have a special, of course, we wanted to just to announce, and Jeremiah, I'll let you give the honors. I mean, you know, you'll be working on these.
Okay. Yeah. So through October 15th, we're going to knock $100 off of our prices for trademark applications. So instead of $750 for a name, plus filing fees, it'll be $650. And on name and logos together, instead of $1,000, it'll be $900 plus.
This comes with a consultation with you, right?
Right. No, it absolutely includes my time on a consultation. I'm gonna prepare a memo for you about, you know, the conflicts that might be out there, whether the name is too descriptive, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and out in the country right now, this is big. I mean, it's so expensive, again, to go out and see a typical intellectual property attorney. They're not tailoring their service to the average small business owner. So if some of you don't need this, but know of someone that could really benefit, please share that with them. Our law firm, so you can get over to us. If some of you don't know where to go, just Google KKOS. That's KKOS is in Sam or Sorensen Lawyers, KKOS Lawyers, and you'll hit our website immediately, the phone number, and just call up and say, I need an appointment with Jerem. Boom. And some of you, let me point this out too. If you say, well, I don't know if I need a trademark, but I want to talk to Jerem for a half an hour. Cool. Schedule a half an hour, and that's all you have to pay for. And if you decide to move forward, he'll apply that half hour to the trademark, and you get $100 off too. So we want to make it affordable. Don't bring up football when you talk with Jerem, because
at least when you're not on the clock, not by the hour.
Half hour on football, so don't do it.
You've been warned.
Too expensive. Now, if you want to put some money in our office pool, we'll take that gladly. And so, actually, we're joking around. I mean, that would be highly illegal for us to say that on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I thought the Supreme Court said sports gambling is not illegal anymore. Wasn't there a Supreme Court case? I got to read.
Yeah. I don't know if you get licensed state to state, but our games are for entertainment purposes only. I want to make that really clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not going to let you join in because my chances of winning go down. There's nothing to, it's not pay to play. It's just you get to play and hopefully win. That's how we do it. So,
yeah. Good way.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. This has been fun. This is good. This is my favorite time of the week. Just being here with Matt and the boys. This is good.
Well, Jerem, thanks for joining us, of course. Jerem's email too is just Jerem, J-A-R-O-M, at kkoslawyers.com. And we're going to be back next week with another amazing hour of the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. Make sure you go over to refreshyourwealth.com where you can learn more about prior shows. And please sign up for our newsletter. We've got tax deadlines, articles, announced specials like we did today just about trademarks, just to try and help you better live the American dream and save you some money. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.